Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
For the next several weeks, what we are talking about is we are in a series called, Are You Listening? And this week, life groups kick off to dive even deeper into the idea that we want to be a people who have our hearts and our minds and our lives attuned to the things of God, to the voice of God, to what He is speaking to us in this day and in each and every day of our lives. Are you listening? Last week, we talked about Samuel, and we walked away with the phrase, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. I think it's a foundational element for learning to tune our lives and our hearts to the things of God is living in a way that constantly says, God, I want you to speak to me because I'm listening. I have chosen to listen to your voice. Today, I want us to look at the life of Joseph. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, we're going to start in chapter 37. Joseph, different than Samuel, was good with dreams. Joseph received dreams from God and understood dreams from God, whereas Samuel heard a phrase from God. It's important as we're walking across the next several weeks to understand that God can speak in many different ways and that He speaks to His people in different ways. Samuel heard his name being called out, and Samuel heard phrases from God, but Joseph saw a dream, and that's how God spoke to Joseph. Let's start by looking at Genesis 37 and verse 5, where it says, and then Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, listen to this dream that I had. There we were binding sheaves of grain in the field, and suddenly my sheaf stood up, and all of your sheaves gathered around it and bowed to my sheaf. Are you going to reign over us? His brothers asked him. Are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more because of his dream and of what he had said. Joseph receives a dream from God, and he turns around and he decides to go and tell his brothers all about the dream that he has seen from God. And it says that his brothers hated him for his dream. In fact, it says that they hated him even more, which means they hated him before he shared his dream, and then he shared his dream, and because he shared his dream, they hated him even more than they had previously already hated him. It's important to understand, I think, a little bit about who Joseph is, about the life and the story of Joseph. See, Joseph has 10 older brothers than him. He is the 11th in a long line of brothers, but it says and it tells us about Joseph that his father, Jacob, loved Joseph most of all. If you're hated by your brothers but loved by your fathers, you can endure a lot. The love of a father can get you through some things that the love of your peers cannot. The voice of a father, the voice of a leading spirit in your life can help you through things that voices of your peers cannot. And Joseph was hated by his brothers, but loved by his father. And the reason Joseph was loved by his father, now this part gets a little bit complicated. They've got a very messy family situation going on. But Jacob, Joseph's father, had two wives, Rachel and Leah. And Rachel and Leah were sisters by birth. It's messy. And Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. He actually got Leah as a wife because he was trying to get Rachel as a wife, and his father-in-law played a swap and reverse on him, and he didn't realize what was going on until it was too late. It's messy. And because he loved Rachel more, God allowed Leah to have more children than Rachel. And Rachel had no children for years on years. And it's more messy than this because there were two slave women, Bilhah and Zilpah, and they also had children. That's why Jacob ended up with so many sons. It's messy. I don't recommend it. It's an important note that while it's in Scripture and while Jacob is notable among the founders of the faith, Scripture also doesn't recommend it. Scripture tells us things that happened sometimes, not as a recipe for a happy life, but as a factual statement of what has happened. In fact, if you read the story of Jacob's life, the message that is coming through the Scripture is that this is messy and I do not recommend it. But finally, Rachel, Jacob's wife who he loves, bears him a son named Joseph. And because Joseph is the firstborn of the wife that he loves, it says that Jacob favors Joseph. He loves him. It is unequivocal that he is his favorite son. He has a way of talking about it, and he has a way of showing it, and he has a way of making sure the seat next to him is always available for Joseph in such a way that everyone is clear and everyone knows that Joseph is Jacob's favorite son. And in case no one caught on to all of the clues that were going around, it says that Jacob goes and gets Joseph a special coat, unlike anybody else's coat. It's ornate, and it's got colors on it, and it's got design, and it's fancy. And he goes and he puts it on Joseph just to announce to everyone else, in case you weren't picking up on all of the clues, this is my favorite of all of my boys. And I love about Joseph that though his brothers hated him for it, and though it didn't make him a favorite among them, that Joseph wore his favorite coat anyway. And he walked around in favor everywhere that he went. And Joseph gets a word from God. And it's a reminder to us that everyone is not going to celebrate the word that you have from God. It's a reminder to us that everyone is not going to clap and cheer just because you receive a word from God. That you have to be careful about the excitement about who you share what God shares with you with. But I think that the thing about Joseph sharing is not just that he's so excited that he doesn't know how to contain it. Because though there is a favor from his father, there's also a hatred from his brothers. And I think that Joseph goes and he shares his dream with his brothers. Because though he's always on the outside of the other 10, and though he's always lingering behind, and though they don't include him in all of their games, and they don't include him in everything that's going on, there's a longing in Joseph to be part and to be just like everybody else and to be accepted in the crowd and to be able to come alongside. And I think that perhaps Joseph thinks, if I share to them what God has shared with me, maybe if I show them that God has spoken to me, maybe if I'll give them a little bit of the dream that I have, maybe this thing will cause them to draw me closer instead of push me away. And Joseph goes and shares with his brothers, but he finds out that haters do what haters do, and they hate him all the more. But Joseph has a word from God. And whether they accept it or not, Joseph has a word from God. And whether they accept him or not, Joseph has a word from God. Whether they decide to love him or to hate him, Joseph has a word from God. So we jump down several more chapters to chapter 42 of Genesis. Genesis 42, starting in verse 1, it says, "And when Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, 'Why do you keep looking at each other?'" He's speaking to his other 11 sons now. Joseph is no longer part of them. If you don't know why, we'll talk about why in just a minute. And he says, "Listen," he went on, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us that we will live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers. Joseph has one younger brother from the same mother, Rachel, named Benjamin. Benjamin was also Rachel's son. In fact, Rachel died in childbirth, giving birth to Benjamin. And it says that Rachel named Benjamin Ben-Onin, which means the son of my suffering. But it matters what you call something. And so it says that Jacob would not allow his name to be Ben-Onin, the son of my suffering. Instead, he named him something different because it matters what you call something. And he called him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. But it says that when he goes to send his sons to Egypt, because he's still carrying heartache over Joseph, he won't let Benjamin go along with them because he says, "For something might happen to him." And then the sons of Israel, Israel is also Jacob. Israel is the name that God gave to Jacob because it matters what you call something, were among those who came to buy grain, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Here it comes. And Joseph was in charge of the country, and he sold the grain to all of the people. And his brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. Just like the dream that God gave Joseph, it says that his brothers came and they bowed down before him. Joseph knows that these are his brothers, but his brothers don't yet know that this is Joseph that they are bowing down before. They are coming to get grain because they are missing grain, which sounds a lot like sheaves of grain being gathered in a field that they have come to bow down before Joseph to receive, because though they disliked him, Joseph had a word from God. And though they hated him, Joseph had a word from God. And though they did not believe him, Joseph had a word from God. And a word that comes from God cannot return empty. I want to talk to us today in our moments together about the fact that a word from God can sustain you. A word from God can keep you. A word from God can carry you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a speaking God. Speak to us today. I thank you for the way that your words move us and carry us. It was about midway through 2019. It was the year that Phil and I were scheduled to be installed as lead pastors of this amazing church. And as you might expect, we spent a great deal of time then, as we do now, praying, God, what is it that you would have us do? What are you speaking for the months and the years to come? God, what are you saying to us about what's coming next year? God, how is it that you want us to lead this place that you have positioned us in? And about midway through that year, as Phil and I were talking together, I told him I kept hearing the phrase, a year of drawing back for a decade of hitting the mark. If you've been here for a while, you've perhaps heard me share that again because it became a sustaining word for us. Around a similar time, October of that year, Phil and I were installed as lead pastors. And not many weeks after that, Mark, who you met today, sent Phil and I a text message and said, "Hey, I was up this morning praying for you all. And here are some things that I heard God say about what's coming and about how he wants to mark this season of your leadership." And it had several things on the inside of it. And at the time, you often receive a word like that, receive a message from someone, and parts of it seem like they resonate, and parts of it seem like, I don't know what to do with this, and it doesn't make any sense to me. And so we did what you do when you receive a word that you're not sure what to do with yet, which is that we just prayed and we kept it in mind. We kept it in the back of our mind. We held on to it somewhere and said, "God, if this is your word, then your word will never return empty." I don't know if you have a drawer or a box like this. Phil has one of those boxes in our house that's like any cord that we get, any charger that we get, any little like wall plug. You know how like the cords and the plugs don't even stay together anymore? So any plug that we get, it all goes in the box. And half the time I'm like, I don't even think we have the device for that thing anymore. I don't know that they're even using that shape of the end. I can't keep up with, are we on USBs or are we on lightnings or are we on what's, I don't even know the rest of them. And feels like, just put it in the box. And I'm like, things go in the box to get forgotten. Except for every now and then. When I'm like, "Hey, I've got this thing that needs to be charged, and I don't know what this," and he's like, "You know what? I know where to find that. Let me just go look in my box, because I've got a cord that's just the shape of that ending that you," I'll be like, "Hey, I'm going to this country, and they've got a different unit than we've been," feels like, "Let me go check my box. I've got some plugs for that country right there." He goes and he searches in his box. Sometimes you receive words from God that you think, "I don't know what to do with this word right now, but let me just put it back here in my, I'm going to hold on to that, and I'm going to remember that," because you might walk into something that makes you go, "I'm not sure what, you know what? I think I have a word for that back here in this box." You just hold on to it for a minute. And we held on to that word. And like so many of you, it would only be a few weeks, a couple of months later, when we walked into 2020 and the world walked into a global pandemic like most of us had not experienced in our lifetime. It raised a series of questions which began to create pressures on our personal lives and our social lives that unlocked a raveling of series of events around all of us that seemed like nothing we could have ever imagined coming our way. But we had a word from God. And through it all, when you have a word from God can sustain you. I remember people coming to us and asking us questions like, "Are you guys okay?" And the honest answer was, we are. Though there were times that we thought, man, the pressure of what's going on around me right now seems like more than I ever thought that I can manage. Though there were times that we looked at each other and thought, how is this the world we're living in right now? The truthful answer was, I'm okay, and I feel like I'm okay because I have a word from God. And when I have a word from God, it reminds me that God saw this coming even when I didn't see it coming. And if God saw this coming even when I didn't see it coming, it means God has a plan for this even when I don't have a plan for this. And if God was on the other side of this, since he lives outside of time and space, and he looked back into it, and when he looked back into it, he thought to send a word to me to let me know that there is more yet in store for you on the other side. A word from God can sustain you. And Joseph has a word from God. And the word from God that Joseph has received sustains him for 22 years. There are 22 years between when Joseph receives his word from God and when his brothers come and the arrival of that word becomes eventuated in his life. 22 years that Joseph held on to what God had spoke to him. 22 years that Joseph had to, I'm sure, question, was I crazy in that dream that I saw? Did I lose it when the things that I shared? Yet he knew in his heart, I heard something from God. Can I tell you that if God has spoken a word to you and you haven't seen it come into arrival yet, that doesn't mean that the word that you heard was not accurate. It does not mean that the word that was spoken to you was not on time. It just means that its moment of arrival has not yet come into your life. There are some words that God spoke to you in 2003 that it's time to hold on to yet again, to say, God, I know that you spoke that thing to me. God, I haven't seen it yet, but I know that your word was true to me. God, I haven't seen it arrive yet, but I know that your word to me can never fail. God, in 2010, you told me that my life was going to someday look like this. And if I haven't seen it yet, then it means that your word has to sustain me in this season, has to walk me through this season. I refuse to quit on the word that you gave me, because I know that your word says that you are not a man that you should lie, that you are not a man that you should lie, or the son of man that you should ever change your mind, that you do not speak and not act, or do you promise and not fulfill? No, the word of God will never return to you empty. The word of God will never return to you void. In fact, the rabbinic understanding of the scripture in Numbers 23 and verse 19 is that God's word is so powerful, is so clear, is so evident in all that he does. His word and all of creation has to respond to it in such a way that if God speaks a word, creation has to alter to come into alignment with his word. It's not just that his word is always consistent, it's that his word is powerful, that his word is accurate, and that his word has the ability to pull all of creation into alignment alongside of it. So if God spoke a word over your life and you haven't seen its arrival yet, it's not because the word was empty. It's not because the word was void. It's just because all the mechanisms and all the circumstances and all of creation are just pulling their way into alignment for that perfect moment of arrival into your life. If he declared over you that you will live long and you will prosper in the land, then you will live long and you will prosper in the land. If he told you that your children will rise up and call you blessed, then your children will rise up and call you blessed. If he said over you that your portion is power, love, and a sound mind, then you will have power, love, and a sound mind. If he declared over you that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, and you are righteous in Christ Jesus, then wealth is just making its way to where you are and to who you are. If he said over you that you will not faint, but you will run, and you will live, and you will stand, then you better keep walking, and you better keep running, and you better keep standing, because his word, though it takes a while sometimes, can never return to him empty. For 22 years, Joseph was sustained by that word. 22 years between when he received that dream and his brothers came and stood and bowed before him. It sustained him for a long time. But my message for you today is not just that a word can sustain you for a long time. My message for you today is that a word can sustain you in a hard time. Because Joseph's 22 years were not easy years. Joseph's 22 years were not a park walk. And I don't want to leave you with the thought or the impression or the idea that when you receive a word from God, it means things are going to be easy. In fact, my study and understanding of Scripture would lead me to believe the exact opposite. That often, a word from God leads me into hard times. Joseph received a word from God, and things got harder. Mary and Joseph, the mother and earthly father of Jesus, received a word from God, and things got harder. Noah received a word from God, and things did not get easier for Noah. Things got harder. Jonah received a word from God, and things were not easy after he received his word from God. They were harder. Peter and the other apostles received a word from God, and things did not get easier after they received their word from God. They got harder, more complicated, more complex, more opposition coming their direction. Joseph received a word from God, and it may have sustained him for a long time, but even more than sustaining him for a long time, it sustained him through some hard times. Joseph receives a word from God, and he is hated by his brothers. It's a hard thing to be hated by someone. They hate him so much that his father sends him to give them a message. And when he comes to find him, his own brothers turn on him and throw him into the bottom of a pit. They hate him. But Joseph has a word from God. And after they hate him, it says that they traded him. They take him from the pit, and some trade dealers are going by, and they trade their relationship with Joseph for a little bit of silver. They exchange the connection that they have with him. They exchange the nearness that they have with him, the familiarity that they have with him. They exchange the connection that they have with him. They exchange the pleasure of being in his company. They exchange the closeness to the favor that's on his life, and they exchange it for some momentary gain for themselves. I don't know if anyone has ever exchanged what they had with you for something to bring themselves something that they wanted. But they took it and they exchanged that relationship, and they traded Joseph and they sold him into slavery. Joseph has been hated, but he has a word. He's been traded, but he has a word. He is now enslaved. He is sold up, locked up in a cart, sent off somewhere where someone can buy him and sell him like he's just some commodity on the side. And he is sold into a house. Joseph is hated and traded, and he is enslaved, but he has a word from God. And though Joseph is enslaved, he still has this favor on the inside of him. He still has this thing that his father has spoken over him. And it says that in the household that he serves in, Joseph rises and is placed over all of the other servants and gains the affection and the attention and the trust of his master. And though he is enslaved, it seems like things are maybe at least working out a little bit okay for Joseph. And then his crazy master's wife gets an eye for Joseph. Because it said even though he was favored and he was good looking, and she got an eye for Joseph, and she started chasing him down. She started cornering him in places. And it's probably one of the best pictures that we have in Scripture for how we are to respond when sin comes running after us and trying to entangle us and trying to ensnare us and trying to trap us. It says one day she traps Joseph in a corner, and she comes and appeals to him yet again. And the picture is that this has been a recurring, a repeated issue in Joseph's life. And it says that Joseph flees and runs away from her when sin is coming after you. Joseph maintains his integrity because Joseph has a word that is presiding over his life, when you have a word that is over your life, when you've received a word from God, it changes the way that you see yourself, and it changes the way that you carry yourself, and it changes what you allow yourself to walk into, and it changes the things you allow yourself to be entangled up on the inside of. Joseph is like, I can't be messed up in this mess right here because I've got a word from God that's over my life. And he flees and he runs from her. But now she's embarrassed. And so she lies on Joseph. He's been hated. He's been traded. He's been enslaved. Now he's been lied on. And she lies and she says that it was Joseph that came after her. But Joseph has a word. And so Joseph now finds himself hated, traded, enslaved, lied on, in prison. Because of her lie, he is falsely imprisoned. Joseph is locked up in what is likely a dungeon, once again finding himself in shackles, once again amongst people who do not look like they are the fulfillment of the promise that God has spoken over his life. I have to imagine that Joseph finds himself sitting in this prison close to 20 years later now, going, God, you gave me a word. God, you spoke something over me, and it looks like, and it feels like, and it seems like I couldn't be any farther from the thing that I know that you spoke to me, but you gave me a word. And because Joseph is favored and because leadership is on the inside of Joseph, it says that the jail master brings Joseph to a place of prominence, and he has favor in the prison because everywhere Joseph goes, whatever's on the inside of him keeps standing up. And there are two other people stuck in jail, and they get some dreams, and they don't know what to do about their dreams. And Joseph is very good with dreams. So he interprets their dreams for them. He tells them, one of you is going to get executed. I can't do anything about what it is, but that's the word. And he tells the other one, you'll be restored to your position. And sure enough, just like Joseph said, one of them is executed and one of them is restored to their position of prominence. And before they go, he says, hey, just let me tell you something. Will you remember me when you leave here? And to add to his list of hardships, they leave and the cupbearer is restored to his place of prominence, but he does not remember Joseph. And so now Joseph is also forgotten. He is forgotten in the place that he never should have been in for the thing that he never did when he was sold into slavery, even though he was born the son of a prominent man, except for the fact that he was traded by his brothers who hated him so because there's a word on Joseph's life. I don't know if you've ever been forgotten. I don't know if you've ever felt forgotten. I don't know if you've ever sat and wondered, does anybody see me anymore? Does anybody remember what I poured into them when, even though I felt like I was at my darkest moment, I spoke life into their situation. I gave wisdom into them when I felt like I didn't have anything left to give. I gave of my offerings when it felt like I was at the end of my road. I don't know if my family remembers me, and I don't know if my friends remember me, and if I don't know if anybody at this job sees me and knows all that it is that I'm pouring into it and that I've placed into it. And worse than all of that, God, you gave me a word and it feels like you have forgotten me. God, do you remember me here? God, do you remember what you said to me? Do you remember what you spoke to me? Joseph feels at the end because he has been through every hardship imaginable. Yet, he has a word over his life. And a word will sustain you. And a word can keep you. And a word causes you to keep standing when it feels like I want to give up and when it feels like I want to quit. Except for Joseph has a word over his life. And finally, Pharaoh's been having this dream on repeat, and he doesn't know what to do with it, and nobody can tell him anything about it. And oh my goodness, that cupbearer suddenly remembers there was a man named Joseph. And he told me about a dream. And when he told me about a dream, exactly what he said in that dream would come to pass. I think we should go find Joseph. And Joseph comes out. Pharaoh tells him his dream. It's this dream about there's skinny calves and there's fat calves. And Joseph, because he's good with dreams, interprets the dream for him. And he says what God's telling you and giving you warning about is the fact that there's going to be 7 years of plenty. But right after those 7 years of plenty, there's going to be 7 years of famine. And so Pharaoh says, since you know about the dream, you must know what to do with the dream. And Joseph goes from the jailhouse dungeon to being next in line after Pharaoh. Just like that, because of one word that God gave him insight into. And Pharaoh puts him in charge of all of the land, and he puts him over everything. And Joseph spends the next 7 years of plenty going around and telling people what to put back and telling people what to store up. And Joseph is living in the palace, and he's living his best life, and he's in charge of everything, and he's got his own staff, and people respond to his words, and they come when he says come, and they go when he says go, and he's eating like it's plenty, and there are no chains holding him anymore, because he is now the one directing and in charge of everything. And I think this might be the hardest hardship that Joseph goes through, is success. Joseph is standing in what by every measurable metric is a success. Except for, he still hasn't seen that word. It's tough when everybody's looking at you going, everything's going great. It's hard when everything seems like it's on the upswing. It's a difficult place to be in when it says, Joseph, your table is full of food. And Joseph, you have all the clothes you could ever want. And Joseph, you have authority only next to Pharaoh in the land. There's nobody higher than you except for Pharaoh himself. Joseph, Joseph, your life has finally made it. You finally reached the pinnacle. You're finally on top. You're finally at the position you should be in, except for inside of Joseph, he's looking around going, all of this seems good and all of this seems great. There's just one problem. I still haven't seen that word that God spoke over my life. I know that there's something more still, and I know that there's something yet still. And for 9 years, 7 years of plenty and 2 years into the famine, I have to imagine that Joseph is struggling under the question and struggling under the weight and being sustained by the fact that God, there's something else yet still coming for me, because God gave Joseph a word. And after 2 years of famine, Joseph is standing where he meets people, and he sees those 10 shady brothers come walking down the row and bow down before him. And the word that God spoke, and the word that has sustained him, and the word that has carried him, finally comes to fruition. Because anytime God speaks a word over your life, it will carry you. And his brothers come and they bow down before him. And lots goes on. He sends them back and forth. And finally, his whole family comes, including Benjamin and his father and all of their servants and all of their flocks and all of their herds, make their way to Egypt, where they settle to be there with Joseph, because his word sustained him, because he never gave up on the word that God gave him. A word from God will carry you when it seems like there's nothing left to do. A word from God will change the way that you carry yourself through hardship and trial and difficult situations and difficult moments and difficult times. The word that God gave Joseph formed him and made him into the man that he needed to be for the place and the position that God was going to bring him into. A word from God changes everything about who you are when you arrive. So one more thing I want to look at in Joseph's life. It's all the way at the end of the book of Genesis. What's happened is that everyone has come and settled and they've been living together in Egypt and Joseph has been taking care of them. And then Jacob dies. Jacob dies in his old age and goes on into eternity. And it says that Joseph's 10 brothers are still shady. And they say to each other, maybe Joseph's only been being nice to us while Dad was alive. And so what we need to do now is they come up with a lie. And they say, let's send word to Joseph and tell him that Dad said just before he died, hey, Joseph, forgive your brothers all the wrong that they did. Because it says that they're afraid that now that their dad has died, that Joseph's going to come and he's going to kill them. Which really tells us more about them than it tells us about Joseph. Because what it tells us is that if they were in Joseph's shoes, what they would do is they would come and kill you. Because you have put me through and lied on me and told Dad I was dead when you knew I wasn't and exchanged me and traded me. And it has been an absolute mess. So they send word to Joseph through a messenger. This isn't in the text and I can't validate it and I can't prove it and it's not there. But when I read it, I just imagine Joseph standing there after all of these years of all of them living together and the messenger coming and saying, hey, your brother said that your dad, right before he died, in his last breath, what he said was, somebody tell Joseph, make sure you forgive your brothers. And I just imagine Joseph just shaking his head like these fools are still after the same thing. So Joseph says, go tell my brothers to come see me. They come on in. And this is what it says Joseph says to them. It says, Joseph said to them in Genesis 50, starting in verse 19. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. These 10 Yehus who are always up to something, they are now old men and they're still coming up with lies to go tell Joseph because they have learned nothing over the last 30 years of their life. And yet they come in there and Joseph says to them, don't even worry about it. It says that he comforted them and he spoke kindly to them because can I tell you that a word from God gives you an elevated view of what is going on. It gives you a heavenly perspective of the things that happen in your life. Joseph looked at them and said, y'all are still playing down here. Y'all are still acting like we're tumbling together, like we're kids somewhere, but I'm not playing that anymore. God gave me a word, and when God gave me a word, it elevated my view. And so it allows me to look at you plainly and say, you intended it for evil. Joseph is not confused about what happened with his brothers. He's not saying to them, don't worry about it. He's not saying to them, it wasn't as bad as you make it out to be. He wasn't saying to them, oh, y'all were kind of nice to me anyways. If you go back and read, they threw him in that pit. And then these jokers sat by the pit and had lunch while they discussed what they were going to do with their brother who was in the bottom of the pit. And one of the ideas included just killing him. Joseph isn't saying to them, you know what, you guys are what helped me get here. No, he says to them, to be clear, you intended evil against me. What you did to me was down and dirty and wrong. Yet, God gave me a word that brought my perspective up here. And when God brought my perspective up here, it allowed me to see that though that was your intention, God took it because he has a way of taking what the enemy meant for evil and turning it for good. And God brought me and positioned me in such a way and such a place that because of the way that you treated me, God brought me somewhere. And the word over my life allows me to see that though you meant it for evil, God worked it for my good, and many have been saved, and many have been helped, and many have come through because of the thing that God brought me through. A word from God over your life elevates your perspective in such a way that it gives you endurance for hardship. There is endurance for everything that you're walking through when you walk under a word. When you walk under a word from God, no matter what you're walking through, I promise you that you can get to the other side of it. An elevated view with a word from God gives you peace in the midst of chaos. I don't have to be tossed by this storm, and I don't have to be thrown by whatever comes my way, and I don't have to lose this comfort and this stillness on the inside of me because I have a word from God, and it gives me the capacity for forgiveness because I can see the way that God worked it for good. I can see that there is an elevated reason for what God is walking me through and what God is walking me in. So I don't have to stay tied to every hurt from my past, and I don't have to stay tied to every broken place in my life. Instead, I can cut the cords with that and say, I've decided to bind my life to this word that God has spoken over my life. I've decided to bind my life to this thing that you have spoken, that God, you gave me a dream, and God, you gave me a vision, and God, you gave me a purpose, and God, you spoke a word over my life, and I have chosen to live in the elevated place of the word that you have spoken over my life. It gives me a heavenly view, and so I'm gonna come on up higher and live in the midst of the word that he is speaking over your life. There is a word that God has for you that will sustain you through every hard time that you walk through, that will sustain you through every difficulty that you endure, that will carry you through every season that's yet to come your way when you have a word from God over your life. And my declaration over you, my prayer for this church, is that you would receive a word from God that carries you in every moment, that carries you in every season, that you're not going to quit because challenges come your way, because there's a word over your life that you're not gonna sit down when difficulty comes knocking at your door, because there is a word over your life that you're not gonna back up when pressure comes against you, because there is a word over your life that bitterness and hate have no root in your heart, because there is a word over your life that endurance is your portion, that peace is your portion, that success is your portion, that forgiveness is your portion, because there is a word over your life. One word from God can change everything about your life. Everyone who can, join me in standing if you're in the room, if you're online at home today. You can stand if you're able, lean in with your heart. This is my prayer over you today, is that you would remember the residing word over your life, because it has the capacity to sustain you. And if you've never received a word like that from God, that you would hear the word of God over your life clearly, because it has the power to sustain you in hardship. His voice, his word to you becomes the thing that carries you when you're hated and traded and bound in slavery, when you're lied on and locked up in prison, when you're forgotten, and even in success, His word will sustain you. Heavenly Father, I speak across this room and to everyone who would listen to this message, that their ears, their hearts would be open to Your word. I thank You that You are not a mute idol, but You are a speaking, living God. Living God, speak to Your people today. Declare Your word over them, for each person. Right now, God is speaking words to people. You're seeing pictures of things, you're hearing phrases, you're seeing things pop up in your spirit, you're remembering scriptures, you're remembering words that have been spoken over you right now. Don't dismiss that. That's the voice of God moving in your life, speaking in your life. God, I ask You to show them more. Ask God questions in return. When He gives you a phrase, say, God, tell me more about that. God, what does that mean? Why are You showing me in this place? Thank You, God, for Your speaking. Thank You for a word that sustains. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I thank You for the words You've revealed right now. I thank You that You will continue speaking to Your people. And God, we thank You for Your word that sustains us. You are so good and so faithful. Speak, Lord. We're listening. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen, church.